If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me today to the book of Hebrews. We're going to the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, the book of Hebrews. I want to minister something the Spirit of God has been quickening me to minister on. And I really love this message called Building Mental Maps on the Road to Divine Destiny. Building Mental Maps on the Road to Divine Destiny. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. If you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there. You'd be surprised how many Christian people don't know where they're going. They done passed up where they're supposed to be. They don't even know if God's hearing them at all. Building mental maps on the road to divine destiny. We're going to start reading with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says now faith is. Notice the word now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's now. Now faith is. Now faith is a now thing, yet it has the ability to create a future. But it says now faith is. So it's not a might be. You never know what God going to do. Now faith is a substance. So there's something physical there. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence, everybody say evidence. Amen. The evidence of things not seen. Notice faith is not in the realm of seen. Why did God put faith in the realm of unseen? Because if you can't see it, neither can the devil. See, the evidence of faith is not seen. Many of y'all know I'm believing God for a Citation 10 aircraft. Man asked me the other day, he said, you got that Citation 10 yet? I said, can you see it? He said, no. I said, I got it. Because that's my evidence. See, the evidence of it's not seen. Now, when I get it, it's no longer faith, it's manifestation. Amen. See what I'm saying? Now, I could have been flying it 3 years ago if I go borrow the money. Nothing wrong with borrowing money. I just like cash. Amen. I just like paying cash for everything, Lord. It's just nice. Amen. You just cut better deals. And I serve a Jewish God. I don't pay retail. I ain't paying no retail. You can do what you want, but I ain't paying no retail, Lord God. So the evidence of faith is not seen. And the reason why God put it in the realm of unseen, because if you can't see it, neither can the devil, because the devil's not a faith devil. The devil's a flesh devil. The devil can never tempt you in the spirit. Have you ever been tempted to tithe? I mean, was you under heavy temptation to tithe? No, you know why? Tithing is a spiritual concept. You're only tempted in the flesh. Yet the Lord said, if you crucify your flesh daily instead of Sunday, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you did that, you would really have a hard time sinning because a dead man can't do nothing. Can he? So notice that the devil is not a faith devil. And by the time he saw Jesus, he really couldn't figure him out neither because he's very old, the devil. Because see, there was a prophecy given to him, a prophetic word. At the fall, he said, there was one coming, you would bruise his heel and he'd bust your head and be born of woman's seed. Many of you have heard this before, and the devil just totally misinterpreted that because he's not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. He said, woman's seed, well, anybody born of a woman, I can cause to fall, no problem. But the problem was God was talking about the Immaculate Conception because women don't have seed. Men have seed. See. I mean, ain't nobody can be born of woman's seed. Women don't have seed. But see, the devil was thinking sexual. Men have seed. So ladies, you need us for something. If you're going to have a baby, you got to have us. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Did you understand that? That's the way it is. Because Adam and Steve cannot create. They can lust, but they cannot create. But Adam and Eve can. So the devil figured, so by the time he done hit so many, kill so many prophets during this space of time that a Messiah is just looking for that Messiah. By the time he saw Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, we don't know. Turn the stone into bread. In other words, he asked Jesus to do something he could see. I want to lay this foundation first before I finish reading it. He asked him to do something he could see because he's not a faith devil. He's a flesh devil. He figured if he turned that stone into a loaf of bread, my God, that's the man. Now Jesus said, no. Now, he could have turned that whole mountain into a loaf of bread with a log of butter running down the valley. That's not the issue. I personally believe the Lord, believe in cholesterol myself. I know it ain't scriptural, but I sure like it. Say, you won't live as long, yeah, but you're going to die happier. Anyway, glory. I believe in fried chicken. I don't care what it plugs up. I like fried chicken. Man, you won't live as long. Were you happy? Yeah. Bury me with a bone in my mouth. I don't care. Make my mind up. Glory to God. So, he didn't quite know for sure. In fact, he did not know till Jesus had died and resurrected who he really was. Because then his own self and his cohort said, if we would have known. That's in the book of Corinthians. If we would have known, we'd have never crucified him. So you can see that he's not a faith devil. He's a flesh devil. That's why now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, for by what? For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. So someone's keeping the books on you. There will be a report brought before God Almighty when you stand before him. Now go down to verse 8 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have received for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of the promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Notice what he was looking for. Verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So notice God sends him out walking in a desert, not knowing where he's going. He's just looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God is dealing with faith, making him the father of faith. And he said, when you go, don't take any of your family. Because God understands family problems. You notice the Jews and the Arabs are half brothers. Right? And I asked the Lord in prayer one time, why do they fight so much? He said, family problems. But Abraham disobeyed and took his nephew with him, Lot. What do you think his mama was thinking of when he was being born? Real estate? Why would you call a boy Lot? It's food for thought. I don't know. But he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. I want to talk about building mental maps on the road to divine destiny. So he's trying to put something in his face. He said, listen, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And that blew him his socks off. He said, have you seen Sarah lately? Sarah, we can't have babies. We're getting old. He said, well, you'll get older now that you're speaking doubt. So the Lord didn't talk to him for 13 years. That's right. Finally, he's 100 years old and Sarah's 90. It ain't going to happen no more. It's over. And the Lord reveals himself as El Shaddai. Now, you can't make this work. Viagra has not yet been invented. It ain't going to happen. Now, let me touch you. And when God touched that man, Lord Jesus, he said, Sarah, come here. And she said, get down with your bad self, Abe. And Isaac, laughter was born. So if you're an elderly person and they're trying to put you in an old folks home, have another baby. Just freak them out. Hallelujah. Say, grandma's pregnant again. Oh, Jesus. Look at some of these older men in here. Sound good to me, mama. Let's go. Building mental maps on a road to divine destiny. In other words, you got to see something before you can have something. Whatever you speak against, you'll never get. People speak against prosperity. That's why they're broke. They're speaking against healing. That's why they're sick. They're speaking against salvation. That's why they're not saved. You can't receive what you speak against. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? So when you're building a mental map, and he's doing this with the father of faith, Abraham. Now, I want you to write this down. If our memories are bigger than our dreams, we are in trouble. If your memories are bigger than your dreams, then you're in trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I thank God of the 1947 to 1958 healing revival with young Oral Roberts and Gordon Lindsay and Jack Coe and William Branham, all those great and mighty men of God. But bless God, I want something happening today. You see, if all your members are only bigger than your dreams, then you're in trouble. Everything you see today was once a dream. Do you know that? Look at all the lights in these buildings. See these lights? They were once dreams. Thomas Edison was tired of lighting his house with gas. It was giving him headaches called carbon monoxide, so he invented a light bulb. Now, you ought to know something. Henry Ford around here decided to quit riding horses and created an automobile called a Model T. You could get it any color you want, long as it was black. Am I correct? So everything you see was once a dream. This microphone was once a dream. Somebody said, I need to have something to elevate my voice so I don't rip it out. Everything you see is a dream. If your memories are bigger than your dreams, you're in trouble because you're not building a mental map on a road to divine destiny. The poorest person in the world is not the one without a nickel, it's the one without a dream. I am constantly dreaming. I'm constantly believing. I mean, I'm like a kid. Glory to God. I mean, why? Because what you dream will come to pass. But if you always remember what someone else dreamed or memories, you live back in the past, and the past never sees the future. So, I mean, I know this church is a big church, but my God, there's still more of Detroit and more of Southview you need to touch for God. You see my point? Well, it's bigger than, no, it's not. Well, we're having a hard time getting in the church. Should have got up earlier. You never had no problem trying to get in that dance hall, did you? You don't care how tight it was. Just dancing on that floor, just rubbing each other. Come on, bud. Yeah, hallelujah. Reaching over 4 or 5 people to get a drink. Why are you mad about getting tight at church? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You see what I'm saying? So when you understand that, if our memories are bigger than our dreams, then we're in trouble. I'm constantly looking forward, not looking behind. I didn't pass that. So the poorest person in the world is not the one without a nickel, it's the one without a dream. Now, you're going to, when you start believing what I'm preaching here, because what's happening is God told Abraham to do that. Look for a city which had foundations whose builder and maker is me. But you see, you always got somebody. Let me just say, you always got somebody telling you, you can't do that, brother. That's impossible. It is a person who has never done anything who is just sure nothing can be done. Write that down. There's always somebody saying, I know, you can't do that. Well, it's the person who's never done anything who is just sure nothing can be done. You always got somebody saying, we can't, because you see, when you start moving forward, everybody sees how far behind they are. They don't like that. They like to stay with the crowd. See what I'm saying? So it's the person who's never done anything who's just sure nothing can be done. Everything I've ever believed for, bless God, I couldn't do. I'll never forget years ago when I first started out in the ministry, the Lord said, I'm going to give you a jet. I thought, you got to be, oh, glory. But what I failed to tell the Lord, I didn't have enough money to fill up a Toyota. How I'm going to fly a jet? I'm talking a small Toyota with a 10-gallon tank. I couldn't fill it up. But the Lord said, look up. A jet flew over my head. And he said, I'm going to give you a jet. I'm going on my third one now. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? But I'd rather get my third one. My point simply is this, you see. But when I never forget, I was driving to preach at a church. And I was so excited that the Lord said he's going to give me a jet. And I said, this pastor ain't going to believe this. And I was right. He didn't believe it. I told the pastor when I got there, guess what? He said what? I said, the Lord said he gonna give me a jet. He said, stupid boy, stupid fool. You can't even fill up a Toyota. How you gonna get a jet? It kind of hurt my feelings. I didn't let him know about talking to the old fool. But I just kept believing. See, it's the person who's never done anything who just sure nothing can be done. You can't do that. Why? You saying that because you couldn't. That doesn't mean that person you talking to can't. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Abraham, you can't have baby. Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah, I can. You see what I'm saying? It's always about telling you you can't do something. The world, you notice they don't have statues of failures. Have you noticed? Ain't nobody making a bronze statue of a fool. Right? Am I telling the truth? See, it's people who says I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get something done. But Jesse, God expects us to believe the unbelievable. Yes, revelations have not been given to you to gratify your intellectual curiosity. Write that down. Revelation is not given to you to gratify intellectual curiosity. It's given to you for obedience. Revelation is given for one thing, not so you can preach deep. Some of y'all got so deep you drown. I'm not talking about deep here. I'm talking about obedience. Obeying what the word of the Lord said. You know, prosperity message is not a money message. A lot of people preach it as such. It's not. It's an obedience message. When you obey, God blesses you. When your children obey you, you bless them. Isn't that pretty simple, isn't it? Obedience to get things done. That's a good marriage. It's when you obey. I mean, there's only two things you can, let me tell you something. You want to have a good marriage? You can fight it or you can obey. I have decided to obey. It's much easier. I don't mind. Kathy, I said, what do you want to do, Kathy? Fine with me. Do your thing, mama. I'll follow. I don't have a problem with that. So I'm the man. I'm the head of my house. I didn't say I was the boss. I said I was the head of my house. I let her have the boss stuff. That's all right. I don't worry about it. Yeah, when I was young, I used to go, hey, forget that trash now. Whatever you want, mama, go ahead. It makes things a lot easier. I let her make the decision. She told me yesterday, what do you want to eat? Whatever. Where you want to go? Whatever. Do you want to go anywhere? Whatever. She said, I guess you won't make that decision. I said, whatever. And we ain't in a good place because she made the decision. Because she ain't pleased, ain't nobody pleased. We were driving down the road. She said, my God, look, Jesse, look. And I said, what? She said, look at Krispy Kreme. I said, what? She said, the light's on. I said, what's that? She said, you stupid thing, you don't know what the light is? I said, no. She said, the Lord has blessed us. Drive in there. Oh, okay. I said, how many donuts you want? Two. I'm not a donut person. I don't eat a lot of sweet stuff. I drove in there, boy, and she said, give me some milk, too. I said, okay. So I drove around, you know, what we call that little drive-in place. And then when I got to the window, I kind of forgot. I said, how many you want? She said, a dozen. I said, my God, man, prosperity's multiplying right here in the thing. But I'm only eat two. I said, lie, you fry. Come out, you Krispy Kreme devil. You know you're going to eat more than two. I bought that last night. There ain't none at the house today. I'm saying that because she's not here. Revelation is given not to gratify intellectual curiosity. It's given for obedience. I'm talking about building a mental map on the road to divine destiny. See, when God tells you to do something, remember, whatever God tells you to do, you can't do. He don't want you to do it, just wants you to obey it. When the Lord told me to believe for that citation 10, I said, God, that costs $18 million. He said, I didn't ask you to buy it. I just asked you to believe for it. He said, the one you got now, you didn't buy. I'm the one bought it. I said, okay. You see, sometimes we try to get ahead and try to do God's job. That's why we get all these delays. See, a delay is not a denial. Just because something delayed don't mean it's denied. Just hang on. You might have asked for something that you're not old enough to receive yet. But hang on there. You'll get there. You're going to grow. All of us are going to grow. Young people don't believe they're going to grow old, but they're going to grow. And I'm telling you, all these beautiful girls, let me tell you boys something. Take pictures. I'm telling you, boy. Because it's going south. You understand? It's going to fall down. So I don't believe that. Oh, yeah, you can say what you want, Jack. It's going down. But that's Beverly Hills, California. You can suck it up, pull it back up. Do what you need, hide it behind the back. I don't know. But one day you're going to say bye, honey, and the bottom of your arm going to be just a flop it. You kind of get softer as you get older. Look at the young people. Nah, yeah. Let me tell you, when my wife married me, I had a six-pack. I got a keg now. But I had a six-pack in them days. Lord Jesus. Take pictures. Because one day they're going to have them control tops on, buddy. It's going to take the power to hold it all in. You can tell when they got it on. You can hear them walking. Don't shout me down. I know you don't believe it. We're going to come to pass. They need to start making some for men, I guess. Now, the reason why I said that, I made you see that. You can see that. Keep going. And I know some of y'all can't wait till this service is over so you can go home, take them off. You can't wait. You get home, go, ugh. Ah. And they're going to be red lines all over your belly and lines smashed together. Lord Jesus, help us. You know it's true. Now, if you don't want to know the guy, walk, just walk like this and nobody know. Hallelujah. See, I'm proving the sermon. You seeing this. That's what I'm saying. You're building a mental map on the road to divine destiny. So it's the person who's never done anything who just sure nothing can be done. The poorest person in the world is not the one without a nickel. It's the one without a dream. So when God gives you these revelations to build what you build here, let me tell you something about this building. A building is not finished when it's occupied. A building is finished when it's paid for. When you occupy your house, that's not when it's finished. It's when you pay for it. You sit back and say, nobody can ever take it away. That's when it's finished. Do you understand that? And the wealth of the sinner laid up for the judge. I don't know what's going on today, bless God, in Detroit or whatever. I flew in here. They got jets everywhere. Lord, geez, security. The guy said, take this card. I said, what for? So you can get back in here. Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, they had F-18 planes next to mine. I thought, what is going on? Riders, is that right? Riders Cup. I said, great, what's that? You know, I'm telling you, boy, there's security everywhere. So you got to understand, revelations are not given you to gratify your intellectual curiosity. They're given to you for obedience. See, there must be a vision of something bigger than today. Write that down. There must be a vision of something bigger than today. You see what I'm saying? If all you're looking at is today, my, your vision is not much, and you're living in memories in the past. Let me say it again. If your memories are bigger than your dreams, you're in trouble. But there must be a vision of something bigger than today. Today is already here. So now you need to be looking to tomorrow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, but Jesse, why does it take so long to get things done? Well, long-term goals keep you from being frustrated by short-term delays or disappointments. Long-term goals keep you from being frustrated by short-term delays or disappointments. As I said earlier, a delay is not a denial. Just because the Lord, something hit a wall, that doesn't mean the Lord said you couldn't have it. A child can ask for a motorcycle at 3 years old. I mean, you can't ride it, but he can ask for it. But you know what? If you train him, he can be a motorcycle champion by the time he's 16 years old. Some of these kids go flying in the air. You seen them with their motorcycles. But mind you, you can ask God for stuff you can't receive. And he's not saying no. He may delay it till you get old enough to receive it. You understand? You do the same thing with your own children, don't you? You don't want to withhold anything good from your children. But sometimes they can ask for something that they can't receive. Not that they won't receive, but they can't at that time. So you have to understand where you are in the spiritual growth of your life. So long-term goals keep you from being frustrated by short-term delays or disappointments. But people ask Kathy all the time, does he ever get disappointed or discouraged? No. Once you've tasted of the bread of freedom and drank from the cup of victory, you're less likely to quit. I've done tasted the bread of freedom. Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something, ladies. And people don't seem to understand something about the devil. They make him so big when he's not much or nothing. How do you know that? He's not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. Do you know you can say something the devil can't believe? You ought to write that down. Let's get into some heavy stuff here. Yeah, you can say stuff the devil can't believe. How do you know that? Because he's not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. He only is moved by what he sees. See, he works in the realm of the senses. That's why you've never been tempted to tithe. He can't tempt you in the spirit. He never does. He's spiritually dead. He can only tempt you in the flesh. Do you understand that? Let me give you a prime example of that. I never forget, I was preaching, I started full-time ministry. I've been preaching since 1976, but I started full-time ministry in 1978. Actual full-time preaching almost every day of my life since 1978. Make a long story short, the Lord told me, he said, I'm going to put you on worldwide television. I got so excited. I went, wow, glory to God. I'm going on worldwide television. You know, the devil didn't believe that. He said, stupid boy, stupid. Ken came, fill up a Toyota. He's going to go on worldwide television. He didn't believe it, so he didn't fight me. Devil didn't fight me at all on television. Ladies and gentlemen, I went on worldwide television. The devil went, oh, wait a minute, he's doing it. But it was too late. See, he didn't believe it. He couldn't believe it because it was beyond his capacity to believe. The easiest thing I've ever done in my life is going on worldwide television. I'm on over 2,700 different television stations today. ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, all in Christian channels, satellite, you name it. I'm there and translated in 13 different languages paid for 1 year in advance. Come on. That's millions and millions and millions of dollars. You know why it was easy? The devil didn't fight me. I said something he couldn't believe. He couldn't believe that. He goes, oh, stupid kid, just talking out of his head. No, I was talking out of my heart. See, you can say something the devil can't believe because he's not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. He goes, wait a minute, that's impossible. Right, it sure is, but not with God. God says, well, all things are possible with the Lord. With men it's impossible, but all things are possible with God. So when you understand that, once you've tasted the bread of freedom and drank from the cup of victory, you're less likely to quit. So it doesn't make any difference to me. Now, let me give you a prime example about hurricanes. Oh, bless God, I ain't stupid. Bible said two of you agree. I need as many people pray and believe it. The storm was not the problem. The problem is the fear that the storm brings. Because you got some stupid people in New Orleans. Stupid. You on television there? Stupid people in New Orleans. Saying, well, you know, we ain't had one since Hurricane Betsy. Been 39 years. Guess we due one. Yo, mama, we ain't due nothing. We're not no past due on a destroyer. You crazy? But that's how stupid people are. So you got to fight that spirit of fear more than anything else. Because you got maybe a million people saying, it's coming. And you got maybe 50,000 Christians saying, no, it's not. So I said, I need some help. Get me Bishop Butler. Pray with me. Get me Word of Faith. Pray with me. Because these fools down in New Orleans, stupid people in New Orleans. Stupid people in New Orleans. I'm serious. I mean, it angers me. And the meteorologists are in their heyday. Boy, it's coming. It's coming. Now, I'm not talking about being foolish, but good Lord, you don't call in a destroyer. Well, we ain't had one 39 years. So? That's what we were fighting, Bishop. That's why I wanted you to help me pray, because I know you know how to pray by faith and you want people to hear a word of faith. It was not that stinking storm, because you see, everything named got to bow its name. Ivan had a name, right? Ivan's got an eye. You know how we prayed? Poke its eye out, Lord. Poke its eye out. So we poked his eye out and Kathy renamed it. Didn't call it Ivan, just call it Van. No more eye. Just Van. Poke its eye out, Lord. You knock that eye out, it's over with. It shuts down. We pray for wind shear to get in that thing. Dry air and cold water to be pulled up from the deep. And turn. Well, what about, did y'all say that? No, but bless God, they should have been praying. They could have turned that thing back into the ocean. But you know, you got people saying, well, bless God, hey, look like we knew one, hadn't had one in a while. I bet anybody in Florida saying that. Didn't get hit by four of them. Nah, I bet you everybody in Florida said, no! See what I'm saying? Faith, a fear tolerated is faith contaminated. That's what we needed. Glory to God, man. So you see what I'm saying there? When you understand it. But now, so how did you know you was going to win? Well, bless God, you were praying. I'm praying. God's praying. God moving. Because we had tasted the cup of victory. This is the second one in 2 years that turned. We had another one going to category four. I said, Lord, shut it down. Last year, the meteorologist said, this is a meteorological miracle. They don't know what happened. We knew what happened. And dry air got in it. Shut that sucker down from a category five, which is that's about a 400 mile all the way around tornado on the water coming at you. Sucking up the slab. But plus the wind, like you ain't never seen. People don't have no idea once you've been in one of them things. I mean, you're Baptist speaking tongues. Just like that. Ain't nobody fighting anybody, doctor. They say, Ivan. That's all you got to say, glory to God. What I'm saying. Hell, people say, why don't you move? Move where? Where? Detroit? We Southerners, we will freeze. Yeah. You'd have to evacuate from New York all the way down to Miami, from Miami all the way through the Gulf Coast, all the way down to Mexico. You know how many millions of people? And if you, well, move to Texas, tornadoes, hailstorms. How about California? Got a whole lot of shaking going on over there. Plus fires and, you know, every place you go. Don't let no devil run you out of town. What are you saying? Write this down. Pain is inevitable. In life, there's pain. But misery is optional. Pain is inevitable. Things are going to happen. You understand? Not bad things happen to good people. That's wrong. Good people happen to bad things. You're a good person, that happened to something bad. Not bad things happening to good people. God's protecting you. But a good person, good people happen to bad things. Pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. That doesn't mean you ain't going to have pain in life. You live and you're going to have some pain, but you don't have to be miserable. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not miserable, ladies and gentlemen. I tried misery. It ain't no good. I tried sick. Never do that again. Tried broke. Never will do that again. Pain is inevitable in life. It's the same thing with a marriage. I mean, you love each other, but at times, you fill in the blanks. You know what I'm talking about. Look at the men. They do it real quiet. Sure, you love your wife. You love your husband. That's not the issue. But there's sometimes, you love them, but sometimes, nah, you just don't like them. Am I telling the truth? You love your children, right? But sometimes you just don't like them. You always love them. That's not the issue. Same thing your husband. Same thing with your wife. I love this woman, but sometimes. And vice versa. So pain is inevitable in life, but misery is optional. But see, if you build a mental map, you make up your mind. I married this woman. She married me. Till death do us part. And look like it's going to be very soon. Might want to get angry, but that make no difference. You don't marry her body. You know, let me help you ladies out. I'm tired of some of these men jumping on their wives because they're getting a little fat. Why don't you grow some hair? Oh. My God, you got to live with you. I told Kathy, I don't care if you get big as a house. That ain't none of my business. Now, I want you healthy. Don't misunderstand me. That's your business. You want Krispy Kremes? I'll feed them to you, baby. I'll just throw them at you. That's what you want? That's okay. I am serious. I can deal about that. That ain't none of my business. I've learned that's her. And I'm going to respect her. Now, she's not heavy, but that's not the issue. She's starting to gain a little weight, which I like. I don't care. She said, how will you want me to do my hair? Shave it. Let it grow. Jerry curl it. I don't know. Do whatever you want to do. I don't care. That ain't none of my business. I am as serious as I can be about that. Now, I know that freaks out a lot of guys, but I'm serious. Now, she's always trying to get me to change my hair. No. I'm like God. Kathy, I'm like God. I change not. This is it. I ain't messing with that. Always trying to get me changed. And I said, no, you do what you want. Wear what you want. Make no difference to me. You can put any kind of hairs and you want your nails done, your toes done, whatever. I don't care. Do whatever you need to do. All that. None of my business. But me, this is it. It's a lot easier. You spray it. And it don't move. That's good enough. Now, it's old fashioned. So, you notice I'm not bothered. There, I got me I bought me a pink shirt and pink tie. She said, Jess, that's pink. I said, take a man to wear pink. I like pink. Why does that have to be a woman's color? Why do men always have to wear gray, brown, blue, and black? Why can't we have chartreuse? Whatever that is. I don't even know what that is. Why do we always got to be dull? That's what I like about black people. They hit the fashion edge, man. They hit the fashion edge. Man, I see some guys, I thought, Lord Jesus, cut the lights out. We'll follow him, man. Boy, they wear some stuff. It's okay, but hey, he's unique. He's different. That's okay with me. I don't have a problem with that. I am as serious as I can be about that. Because I know if Kathy doesn't like that dress, no matter how much I like it, she might wear it for me for a second or two, but I don't want that. So get what you like. Just whatever you want. That's fine with me. I don't struggle with those things. See, pain may be inevitable, but misery is optional. She asked me the other day, she bought a dress. She said, you like this? I said, not particularly. Well, why not? I said, I don't know. I never sat down and said, why don't I like this dress? I don't know. I'm not going to really spend my wisdom brain on that. You understand what I'm saying? I said, I just don't particularly care. Do you like? Well, I like it. Buy it. Wear it. But I tell you one thing. I can't understand why you don't like. Woman, if you liked it, I like it. Buy it. But if I wear it, you ain't going to like it. Right. Why? But that don't, that's okay. I said, don't I wear stuff you don't like? Yeah. I said, have I changed? No. See, I got this old pair of pajamas. I love them. She's been trying to throw them away. They don't have no elastic. You got to hold them, you know. They ain't got no elastic on them at all. I walk around the house holding that like that. She said, just your pajamas. No, I like them. You can't praise God because... I don't know. Got to hold it. I like your old pajamas. I like them. I don't care. You see, most men like their ladies, like their wives or whatever in really nice, sexy things. Again, most women like cotton, comfortable stuff. They want them big nightgown stuff, you know, where they can just move and nothing. Yeah. But that's what you want to wear. What? I'm serious. I can be about that. Because it's fine. Because I know if she likes them. Like the other day, she's about ready to do her. She had to buy an outfit for her women's conference. Oh, Lord. She says, you know, I like this. I said, okay. Well, you think I ought to do that? I said, which one do you like? This. I said, that's the one you ought to go with. Do you like it? I said, I'm not going to be there. Which one you like? Well, I like this. And I said, well, that's the one you ought to get. Yeah, but but do you like it? I said, I'm not going to be there. She said, every woman in this store likes it. I said, then buy it. I'll pay for it. That's what you like. Glory to God. I'm trying to build a mental map that whatever she wants, it's okay. But sometimes people got to say it over 10,000 times. I'm looking for a total red suit. She said, I said, I want to look like a fire truck. I'm going to find me, because I like red. See, I like what Sister Deborah has on. I like red. Why can't we wear something like that? People go, oh, sweet. Hey. So when you wear that, you talk like this. Tell you what, say, what you want? You know, I like red. I want to get me a red. I want something red. I want to get me something red. I got me a red. You know, people say, why? I don't know why. And it don't mean that if nobody like it. If I like it, that's fine with me. I just sit and look at myself and go, ooh, Jesse. Nobody like it. But they don't have any taste, Jesse. No, they do. Just make any difference, you see. He says, what do you want to believe? And what are you willing to do to receive it? Mm-hmm. Now write this down. This is the most important point of this message. If I succeed without sacrifice, then someone went before me and made that sacrifice. If I succeed without sacrifice, then someone went before me and made that sacrifice. Let me flip the coin. If I sacrifice and don't see the success I want, then someone who follows me will reap that success. Do you see how God's got us covered from A to Z? Let me say it again. If I succeed without sacrifice, then someone went before me and made that sacrifice. Or if I sacrifice and I don't see the success I need or want, then someone who follows me will reap that sacrifice. You see, there's some things you're going to do in life that's not for you, but for the next generation. And you have to understand that. You see, and a lot of people say, well, the Lord didn't bring... No. You see, he used you as a builder for the next generation. And they will reap from that. Do you understand that? Some water, some... So, you know, and some getting great. And I've learned those things. See, for years I thought that I would all... Everything I would sow that I would automatically reap. And I do believe 36 and 104. I reap 100-fold all the time. And I don't mean that arrogantly, but I do. But there's some things I realized that they were... That what I am doing... They will benefit in the next generation. It's like a church, for example. Most men and women in this building today will not outlive this building. Right? I mean, think about it. Most people are not going to outlive this building you built. Buildings last a long time unless they're knocked down by something. But you paid for it, or paying for it. You're building it for the next generation. And the next generation, the generation after that may come in. I mean, how old is that chapel with all that stained glass? 1930. So we're looking at what, 74 years, huh? Something like 76. Yeah, something like that. Okay, you see, but that's still going to be there another 70 years from now. And if Jesus tarries, we'll probably all be gone by the way of the grave. I'm talking about the people my age and stuff. I'd be 70, I'd be 150, whatever. My point is this, but whoever did that is benefiting you now. See, God has got us covered all the way. See, that's why God says teach your children. Every time God looks at you, you ever notice God's never surprised? You know why? He looks 240 years into the future every time he looks at you. He looks at three generations. The average person in America lives 80 years old. Some live longer, some live less, but the average is 80. So he looks you, he sees you, he sees your children and your children's children. That's why he's never shocked. 240 years into the future. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Jesus, and Jesse. I put myself in there. I'm the seed of Abraham, heirs according to the promise. How many times you hear this? Jesus, God saying, I remember my servant Abraham. I remember my servant David. And I will not allow this to come upon his children or his seed. Isn't that amazing? Because what happens, we're building for other generations. Think about that. So there's some things you may not receive the way you thought in this life, but your children will, and a good man makes an inheritance for his children's children. What are you saying? You must look beyond what you can see, even if your senses give you no assurance. You see? Let me say it again. You must look beyond what you can see, even if your senses give you no assurance. You see the citation 10. How many of you get my magazine? Anybody here gets my magazine? You know what I'm talking about. All right, a bunch of y'all get that. Okay, and watch it. What happens is, that's going to come to me. I know that. But you know what? If Jesus tarries, it's going to outlast me. So it'll go to the next person who takes this ministry. Do you understand that? So I'm believing, even though my senses give me no assurance, that has nothing to do. I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by faith. I'm not walking in the realm of my senses or sense knowledge. I'm walking in revelation knowledge. If you look at a church life this size and with this cost, it took revelation to believe for this. Not sense knowledge will tell you, you never do this and you might as well quit. You can't handle that kind of stuff. But revelation says, I'm going to build a place called Word of Faith. Oh, but you can't do that. It's always somebody that says you can't say. So that tells you that you can when you got the devil saying you can't. So let me say it again. You must look beyond what you can see, even if your senses give you no assurance. Now watch this. To dream is not the phantoms of our brain, but the outlines of our destiny. I want everybody to see this. I'm going to show you faith like you've never seen it before. The true definition of faith in its purest form. I'm going to use this as an example. How many of you had children and you gave them a little car, a little boy? A little car about this size. All of a sudden, the kid takes the car. You give it to him, and he goes. And if you're in your car, he goes. You see him riding that car, and you go. And if you're kind of close to him, how many have done that? You've seen that. Hold your hand up. All right. How many of you have given a little girl at 8 months old or 9 months old or 10, 11 months old, a little baby doll. And they just hold on that baby doll. It gets dirty, stinky, but boy, they want that baby. You buy another one, they want that old, right? Now, what is this? That's faith in its purest form. But you call it imagination. Look at that kid. He got an imagination. No. He's in that car. You know why I know it's not imagination? How come when he's 15 years old, he drives your car out your driveway? All of a sudden this becomes living reality. See, that's faith in its purest form. That's not imagination. To the adult, that boy got a vivid imagination. That girl got a... No. That's faith in its purest form. That kid sees himself in that car, and before you know it, he's taking it out of your driveway. And that's why women want them babies, all that biological clock ticking all the time, because they're giving them a baby at 10 months old, 11 months old. All of a sudden, we want a baby. Gotta have a baby. And no matter what the man said, no, we don't want a baby right now. Yes, we do. Okay. You see, what happened was you thought that was vivid imagination. No, that's faith in its purest form. I call that faith. The other day, Kathy came in my office. She says, oh, my God, he's doing it again. See, I've been doing that for years. It's called faith. See, when she first saw me, she said, "What you doing, Jeff?" I said, "Jets." "What do you mean?" "Jets." She said, "That's just a Jets. What do you imagine?" I said, "No." I said, "Kathy, that's faith in its purest form. One day we'll have one." This is not a white Stevie Wonder.
Get myself dizzy here, glory to God.
You understand? It's faithy. It's not imagination. Because your child will drive your car out your driveway. But it started with that little car you gave him to play with. That was you considered a toy to fill his imagination. But what you did was fill his heart with a dream that produced a physical manifestation. So the other day, Kathy caught me in my study. She said, "What's your faith in now?" I said, "Satellites." "Satellite." "I want my own satellite. Why do I have to buy at a time? I don't know if I had my own satellite." I said, "Kathy, nobody owns space. Nobody owns it." She said, "Yes, and them satellites cost $500 million. "Yeah. Yeah." So I called NASA. I said, "What it takes to bring up a satellite? $100 million. I said, "I called Russia. They'll do it for $20 million. I called. They need money. You can laugh all you want, but one day there'll be a JDM satellite and then a ring them. And no one can stop the gospel. Then ABC, CBS, NBC will come to me." See, I'm faithful. I'm building a mental map on the road to divine destiny. Do you see that? Well, the military has it, yes. Even the Weather Channel has it. Why can't Word of Faith have it? Why not? Somebody got to believe it. But you got to start like this. And they're going to call you full of imagination and a stupid fool until your satellite. I told the Creflo Dollar that. I said, "Why don't you get your satellite, Creflo?" He said, "What?" I said, "I can hear yours. It's going across the sky." No one owns space. Don't tell me we can't believe that. That's what Henry Ford did. Tired of riding his stinking horse. Always going to the bathroom at the wrong time. Think I'm going to build a car. I'm going to put horsepower in it. You don't believe that, go out there. Wherever it's at. Y'all know where it's at. You see those buildings out there. You see? Somebody was in their house doing this. You mean sinners can do it? Yeah, Genesis 11. Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. The Bible said all they imagined. See, that's all, even in their imagination. God said, that's pure faith. Let's go down there and confuse that language. Because they will do, there's nothing they can't do. That's our powerful faith. You know, that's how God created the universe. Believe I'm going to create Earth. I'm going to put a boy named Jesse on it. He's going to have white head and white teeth. But I'm going to bless him so much that when he comes to Word of Faith, they give him a sharp pulpit. So he looked tall. What can you see? But if you're in the past, if your members are bigger than your dreams, you're in trouble. There must be a vision of something bigger than today. See, someone's already sacrificed for me to reap that satellite. Think about that, 24/7, and can never cut you off. Now, you know what we're doing in our ministry? We're doing something that I don't know if any other ministry is doing it. It's very expensive. We're running digital and analog at the same time. Now, let me explain that for a second. The world's going digital. Ain't no other way. It's happening. But see, somebody in America can afford it. But there's some of these countries overseas that we're airing cannot go digital. They're going to stay with analog because they can't afford it. So a lot of people are going to lose the broadcast because it's already been passed in law by Congress. But they keep backing it up so people, because it costs a lot of money. The average television station could cost them at least $2 million. It's going to cost us $2 million to switch over. And we're in the process of that right now. So we're running digital and analog. Now, I'm saying stuff some of y'all don't understand at all. I just saw that in my spirit. Let me make it simpler. Let me show you the difference between, so you'll understand what I'm talking about. How many of you, see how old you are, how many of you, it was your job to go outside and turn the antenna? Hold your hand up. And your daddy say, stop, that's it, boy! All right, don't turn it no more! Hold your hand up if that ever happened to you. Okay, some of y'all are not quite that old. Let's see, let's try this. How many of you, it was your job to put the aluminum foil on top of them ears, on top of that television? Hold your hand up. Ah, now you know what I'm talking about. You're pulling in that analog signal. We see some of the places in India that we're preaching in their languages, they can't afford that. So we're not stopping the broadcast. We're running analog and we're running digital. It costs a lot of money. Yeah. Yeah. Well, how are you doing that? Well, let me tell you something. God is not looking for a man with money to finance it. God's got money. He's looking for somebody with money. He's looking for somebody with obedience. That's all. Just obedience. He's not looking for the richest guy in town to handle this. Same thing with the satellite. How are you going to get $500 million for a satellite? That's not my job. That's above my pay grade. You understand what I'm saying? My job is to believe for that. Do you see my point? Ooh, Lord Jesus. Yeah. See, God ain't looking for a person with money. He's got money. He's looking for a person with obedience. Someone who is tempted to tithe. Well, I lost a few of you right there. You're right. Because, see, that's a spiritual thing. And don't you want to be spiritual? Spirituals always connect physical things together. So you see, when you pray in the spirit, you get a physical healing. Right? Right? So the spirit can embrace the intellect, but the intellect cannot embrace the spirit. And that's the problem with our theology of today or our theological schools. They're trying to embrace spiritual things, but with intellect, it don't work. But the spirit can embrace the intellect, but the intellect cannot embrace the spirit. So you walk in the spirit. That's why you walk in the realm of unseen. So when you tell people things like that, they think you're crazy. Now you see what I just said about the satellites? I've been faithing. Let me help you. Devil don't believe it. That's them five stupid kid. Watch. Watch. I'm tired of the Rupert Murdochs and all these people owning all this. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not against them. But there's space out there and there's a lot of it. No one owns it. And no one can collect on it. Because there's no one up that, nobody's that high. There's only two guys I know up there right now, I think. Of this whole planet, I think it's two or three guys up at that space station. That's it for the whole planet. And they ain't got time to collect. They can't even go outside. Put that satellite, beam it. Push it, push a button. Go. Think about it. You that are watching by the internet, think about it. That was unheard of. That was totally unheard of, you that are watching that all over the world. Totally unheard of, but here I am. See how tall I look? Thank you, Bishop. I appreciate that. Glory to God. Yeah. See, it's always once dreams. Now, what is your dream? What are you going to do? What are you willing to do? I want you to think about that for a minute. Because there's nothing you can't do. And let nothing hold you back. No nationality, color, creed, money, status in the community, whatever, all that junk. What do you want to do? Have you been faithing? Or have you let people think that's just a vivid imagination? That's faith in its purest form. Just remember, And one day the kid takes the car. And one day that beautiful daughter of yours brings back a baby. And they call grandchildren. You know why they call grandchildren? Got to spend a grand on them. Nothing short of a grand. A lot of more than that. I don't doubt that Bishop Butler's grandbaby, when she sees him, she goes, big money coming. Big money coming. Oh, look at me, me and mama. Big money coming. And she just goes, and Bishop goes, oh, glory to God. It's the way it's supposed to be. Look at the kids. Y'all just kids. But these are grand kids. Oh, and it's just beginning. Wait till she get about this big. What you want, baby? A spaceship? Sure. Papa go get you a spaceship. Whatever you want. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I want to spoil that child. Excuse me. You don't spoil children with love. You spoil children by not disciplining them. That's how you spoil a child. You don't discipline. You can give a child anything you want as long as you discipline and show them the value of what's happening. I shouldn't say this, but I don't know. The Spirit of God said I could. I only have one daughter. I gave Jody. And Jody's going to be 33 years old next month. I have never, ever told her no. Her mama has many times. She said, you make me the heavy. I say, she ain't heavy. No, because everything she asked me made sense. She said, Dad, I have never told her no. Never. And my mother used to get so angry. She said, you're spoiling her. I'd bless her. I said, Jody. She said, Kathy said, Jody shouldn't have that. Jody, pick this up. She's 6 years old. Mama, let Daddy listen to the Lord. Let Daddy listen to the Lord. So usually around a birthday, I said, Jody, what do you want for your birthday? You're going to be 30. She said, let's let the Lord lead you, Daddy. Because I know if the Lord lead you, we're going to get it today. I want you to know, Lord. Oh, Lord, we start hooping, boy, I'll tell you what. Now, I probably shouldn't tell you this. Somebody going to criticize me. But I'm not a broke man. I live by my giving. And so constantly, I have to be blessed. There's no other choice. It doesn't matter. I mean, I just have to. There's no way I can go broke. Got too much seed in the ground. It ain't my fault. Don't get mad at me. It ain't my fault. I delight in tithing. I delight in giving. It's not a temptation to me. It's a manifestation. I just do it. Can I tell you what happened to me the other day? Let me hurry. It's 12:14. I apologize for holding you so long. I was in Chicago, going to preach in Chicago. And as I was going, you know, these people, a couple picked us up at the airport, took about 40 minutes to drive to the airport. Okay. I mean, to the church from the airport. So Kathy came with me, you know, so we sitting in the car. We're just talking. I don't know these people who has picked us up, you know, and hello, and just cordial, being nice. We stopped at this red light and this blue, a cobalt blue, kind of like the color of your blouse there, maybe. Is that cobalt? I don't know what the color that is, but kind of like that color. This blue Corvette pulls up on the side of a car. It was a hard top blue Corvette. I said, good Lord, Kathy, look at that car. Isn't that a beautiful car? I said, that's a gorgeous car. I never thought of a Corvette. I said, that's a beautiful car. I said, I tell you what, if I got a Corvette, I mean, I'd like to get one just like that color, but I would want it convertible instead of hard top. And she said, you want a vet? I can buy you a vet. I said, no, I don't want a vet. I said, I've always liked him, but I never thought about going out and buying one. You know, I've just always liked him. You know, there's a lot of things I like that I don't necessarily go out and get. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff. But I said, that's a beautiful car. I said, whoo, Lord. I said, Kathy, I'll go buy one. We can ride around. Look like two old people. One with a Q-tip and you know, my hair. Just give everybody a Queens wave rather than. And we just all laughed in the back of the car. Okay? All right. We drive up to the church. Now, it's just 40 minutes later. Actually, 42 minutes later. As I go to walk in, one of the ushers said, there's a gentleman need to see you. I said, who is that? Well, you know, because I don't know, you know. And this, I said, oh, yes, I know this gentleman. I said, hello, brother. How you doing? He said, Brother Jesse, I just have to do something. I said, what's that? He said, I want to show you something. And he turns around, and there's a 2004 commemorative edition, cobalt blue, Corvette convertible. Why? He said, I bought this 2 days ago. Me and my wife, we love this car. So I thought he meant to pray a blessing over it. He said, but the Lord told me it's not my car, it's yours. I said, what? He said, I just got 150 miles on it. He said, this is yours. And gave me the Corvette. I looked at that thing. 42 minutes later, I got one exactly that if I would have bought, would have. And I said, Lord, he said, I heard you talk about it. Now that was more, that's not kind of like that $5,000 gift. It was beyond, I went, oh, gee. And you want to drive it home? I said, no, I'll rent a truck and have him bring it home. And my tape men said, we'll drive it. No, you ain't driving it. I said, put it on, and they delivered it to New Orleans. It's got 150 miles. I said, you sure you want it? He said, yes, I can't help. He said, the Lord told me I was driving it. He said, this is not your car. This is Jesse Francis' car. And I looked at Kathy. I said, remember when I gave that money to Jody and you was, I said, I don't see you now. I said, look what the Lord has done. I've never owned a Corvette in my life. I could have bought one. It's not the issue. But the Lord blessed me. So, man, I put the top down. I'm driving around New Orleans. Got my lean back, you know. I'm walking. Hey. Glory to God. Now, you know, don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Which means if you're on the interstate and somebody pull up on the side of you and you say, you want some of me? And they go, woon. Oh. Boy, I mean, I smoked that guy. But guess who was down the road? When I saw him, I'm going, all he saw was a blue fag. I said, Jesus, I'm going to help you. Brother Jesse, how you doing? I said, you like my Corvette? He said, I could barely see it when you went by me. I said, go ahead, give it to me. I deserve it. No. I said, the Lord gave me this. He said, you got to be kidding me. He said, if you don't slow down, you're going to pay for it in tickets. I said, yeah. I said, I never had nothing like this in my life. But you see, what happened was, on the way to the church, I built a mental map. Not even realizing it. My God, I know I'm going long. I apologize. But do you understand what I'm saying? What are you going to do? I challenge you. Word of faith, you certainly have the ability to do whatever you desire. What dream, what faith will you face today that will manifest? Stand to your feet. Oh, I know I went long, Lord Jesus. I just couldn't help it. Kilo Osakahara. Pray with me in the Holy Ghost there. The Lord said, I will birth dreams in people's hearts today. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and God will give you a dream that'll come to pass. Come on. Let the Lord dream a dream in you. Then you'll faith it down and it'll come to pass. I don't care if it's spiritual, physical, financial, whatever it might be. Kaylee, it may be a healing. It may be a house. To me, it's a satellite. So much to be done in so short a time to do it in. Pray with me. Come on. I want you to see this inside. See this inside. What are you believing for? What are you believing for? What are you believing for? Come on. See it. Speak it. Speak it and it will be delivered. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that you got your dream in your mind, now put it in your spirit. Put it in your spirit. Come on, sow it into your spirit. What it is, spiritual, physical, financial, you're not going to, you can't exhaust the possibility of God. Come on, let him speak to you. Come on, choir. What are you believing for? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? What do you desire? What do you want? There ain't nothing wrong with that. That's all in the scripture. Needs, desires, wants. Come on, pray that out. Pray that out. Pray it out as a corporate body. What will you do as the Word of Faith corporate body? What will you do to touch your community, your state, your nation? Come on, get that up. Get that up. Get that up. Get that up and get that out. Come on. Plant that into your spirit. Act like a kid. You know, they'll call it a vivid imagination. No, it's faith in its purest form. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lord, I decree and declare 2004, the year of fullness, 2005, the year of overflow. Lord, I pray this for word of faith that come the end of this year, they'll have to dream a new dream, Lord, because what they've been dreaming will come to pass. Lord, you've only got 3 months left to do this thing. Oh, kababasata, if people will believe it, and they can receive it, Lord. If they speak against it, they can't have it. But if they can believe it, Lord, they can receive it. Now put your hand on that person next to you and pray for their dream. Come on, pray for each other's dream. You don't need to know what it is. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Somebody hold my hand. Somebody, I need somebody to agree with me. Come on, babo soko baba basaha. Yeah, babo soko manyala rasende. Drelo roso kobra basata. Touch Jesus. Oh, Lord God Almighty. Ilo rekoso manareo rebe koshona. Minister, Lord God. Send forth that miracle of God today. Ilo rese kamara soto. Ilo rese alara basata. Yeah, I can see it. There's faith here by the pound, by the ton in here. The word of the Lord would say unto these people today. The word of the Lord would say unto these people today. That the word of the Lord would say unto these people today. The word of the Lord would say unto these people today. I will make this place a new place. I will make this word of faith place a new place. People will come from far and near because they will hear about it. They will hear of its organization. They will hear of its life. They will hear of its smile. Because of the joy that will come from this place. I will make it a brand new place. People will come and say, I've heard about it. I need to get in its presence. I need to get around people who believe like people believe in heaven. This place will begin to believe like my angels believe in heaven without shadow of doubt of any kind. I will do that, saith the Lord. I will speak it aloud through my servant Jesse, and it will come to pass to those that will receive this, and it will be a burning light in a dark place. Said, yes, Lord. He said, say it in English. What will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? What would you have me to do, saith the Lord? Oh, speak it out to me, and I will do it as a corporate body, and I will do it as an individual. I will begin to show myself in this place in a stronger and more powerful than you have ever seen. It will be known as a place of anointing. People will come in that don't even believe these things and will be glued to the seat. They will be amazed at what was going on because anointing will come off of you and will come off your chair. I will saturate the walls. I will saturate every crack and crevice of this place, saith the Lord, that people will know that I, God, are on this earth and will possess this planet because you are my desire, saith the Lord, and you are my way of doing things. So get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, because you're going to do the impossible. But the impossible shall be possible. It will not be. Yes, Lord, he said, tell him the devil will not even fight them because he cannot believe it. But I will do it, saith the Lord.
Give the Lord a big God bless you.